join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Why Won't You Date Me? A podcast where I try to figure out how I'm still single, even though I will kiss you without talking to you for very long. My guest today, you know her from The Good Place. Also, if you're in England, you know her because she's a model and a presenter, which is a host in England.
It's a host?
Yes, but they say presenter because they're fancy. Jamila Jamil! Boop, boop, boop!
Hello.
Your name is so pretty. But also, it feels like a trick because Jamila Jamil, it's like it's starting to say your first name again with your last name.
It's an Indian Duran Duran.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
That's a very good way to put it. Indian Duran Duran.
Yeah.
You're on The Good Place, which is such a funny show. You are wonderful on it.
That's so nice of you.
So funny. And I'll be honest, I saw the previews and I was like, no way she'll be funny. She's too pretty. But then you were so funny and I was like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. Yeah, you're just like naturally funny too. It's not forced. And I think it's like a combination of good writing. And then you're also a very good actress.
Okay, now I'm going to date you. So we don't need to do the podcast anymore because Nicole and I are going to date.
Oh, baby. Honestly, that would be a dream come true if someone's like, you, today, I want it. So how long have you been in
LA? I'm literally about to climb over this table and just hump your leg.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm honest. I'm being very genuine.
You're very
when
kind.
I say it. It's not kind when it's true. And I feel like people don't give compliments the way they should. I think if you see something and if it's good, you should just say it. Why not?
I also love it when girls support other girls. I also think you are a fantastic force. You're incredibly talented and smart. And so this sounds awful, but it means more to me if a compliment about comedy comes from someone genuinely very funny and talented and smart. And I think you are all of those things. So I'm very flattered.
Thank you. You're welcome. Did you just fall into, are you a comedic actress or were you doing comedy before?
No, I've never done anything. I came here not wanting to be on television anymore because I found television, I don't know, I wasn't particularly excited by the television I'd been doing for a while in England, and I was hosting shows about music that I didn't think was very good a lot of the time. And so it felt a little bit soul-destroying. And also you get pigeonholed a lot as a woman, and you aren't given a lot of funny things to do. Especially in England, they can be quite sexist and very, very ageist. Mm-hmm. And I felt really understimulated. And also because England is the size of like a navel or a cat's bumhole compared to America, it's very easy to be famous there and for nothing. Mm-hmm. And I found myself like very much so in the public eye for no reason. I hadn't like written a hit album or done anything of any significance. Yeah, but it's a bit weird, you know, to announce stuff and then for people to care about you so much and photograph you outside your house. So I think it was just all a little bit not right for me, and I wasn't even intellectually stimulated enough for it to be worth the invasion of my privacy. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Not that anything's really that worth it, but at least if you're really like living for what you do. Mm-hmm. So I moved to America with no ambition to really be on television, but I did want to write for television because I've loved comedy since I was a child. It's the only thing that helped me survive what was quite a hard childhood. It was comedy. And so I really think comedy is a medicine for people. It's an emotional medicine and a great thing to put out into the world. I wanted to write it. I got signed as a writer by Three Arts, that company who make a lot of comedy, and this audition came out of the blue. I'd run out of money, and my manager told me about this part, and he said, "It's an annoying Indian English woman. You've got this." It's like, it's you. You're playing yourself.
That's you. Just go in there. Don't even say the lines. Just be yourself.
You're totally unbearable. Go for the part. And so I went to the audition, not thinking I would ever get the part, but thinking maybe I could just meet Mike Sir, and then maybe I could hand him some writing eventually. And he cast me because I guess everyone else died that day. But now I am an actress, a comedic actress, and I would never have known that I would love this so much. I can't believe what a chance he gave me, because I never would have seen this for myself. I never would have dared, because it is such an incredible profession to me. But it is my favorite thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. That's good, and I think it shows. It shows that everybody on the show's having a good time. Everyone really connects in a way that's so genuine and nice. And I've only met Mike Sure once, and he's a very whimsical man.
Yes.
He radiates this like happiness. And I feel like all
and
of his
peace.
Projects. Yes. Yeah. All of his projects, I think, are influenced by that as well. So I think for your first project, that's like you like just. Not winning the lottery, but like I think you were meant to be there at that time. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. But also after Me Too, I do feel like I won a lottery. Like he is the least rapey or inappropriate boss I've ever met. He's not unkind. He doesn't have double standards for women. He doesn't care about what weight we are. We never feel objectified in any way. He just treats everyone as equal. And he respects us as comedians, and he challenges us and pushes us and never patronizes anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I like that about him.
Yeah, which is incredible and should be the norm.
I know.
And it's not. And it's mind-boggling when you work at something like with a man who calls you honey off the bat and you're like, I don't fucking know you.
Oh yeah, I had a photographer call me Bubba throughout the whole thing, as if like Bubba? I'm his little baby. It was really weird and creepy.
That is very strange.
Like, come to me, Bubba. Come on, Bubba. Crawl at me, Bubba. And I was like, I'm not going to crawl at you. I'm 32 years old.
That is so strange. So you do a lot of modeling, yes?
No, I do. I got signed as a model when I was 15,
yes.
Because I'd managed to master an eating disorder at 15. That was a very bad time in my life, a very stupid bad time in which I took my body for granted and hurt myself a lot. And then I was lucky to be hit by a car shortly afterwards. 6 months into my modeling career, I was hit by a car.
God.
Broke my back, gained 75 pounds, much needed. And gained some sense and stopped taking my body for granted and stopped starving myself and realized that there are people who are literally starving in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They are dying of famine, and I am choosing, while surrounded by food, by good food, to deny myself of it. I am a horror and disgrace to myself. And obviously eating disorders are part of a mental health problem, and you know, you shouldn't, I don't think shame is the way out of it, but to look at it logically, I think sometimes can be quite empowering to be like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
I deserve more than this treatment. This voice in my head is evil. I need to eat.
That's wild that it took a car hitting you, but also sometimes you need something that jolts you back into
your mind. Sometimes you're living like out of your mind, being like, I need to do all these things and I don't know. And then you get jolted and then you're like, oh, what was I doing this whole time?
Well, it's because I'm a woman and I'm being hazed with shame. And I have been since the minute I could understand. So therefore, like, there's just like, I'm in shame smoke all the time. And it sometimes it does take a big car coming out of the blue or something like that, like a huge life moment to remind you of your mortality and remind you that, you know, this is real. Life is real and we only get one shot. And don't deliberately mess it up, because enough other things are going to try and mess it up for you.
Truly, the world will try to keep you down, but you got to just keep yourself up.
So I never modeled again. And then I became a TV host and a personality, I guess, in England. And via that, I kind of did like branding modeling. Do you know what I mean? So it's way better. People treat you better. You're not treated like a piece of meat. You're never really pressured to look a certain way. You get to be yourself. You have autonomy because you're doing it as yourself. So I think I've kind of been photographed, but I don't think I've ever really modeled. I've never had to fit into someone else's
image. So you never had to like wash a car in a bikini and be like, eat a hamburger.
No. Jesus, thank
God.
What
a blessing.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not good at being sexy, so I don't think I could ever do that. I think I'm a sexy person, but the way the world visualizes sexy women, that's not who I am.
100% I'm the same.
And I feel like a lot of women aren't like that.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I mean, I guess it's just men's idea of what sexy is what we've adapted to being.
No, I think it was, I mean, I hear you, but I believe it was a couple of men's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broadcast it so heavily that other men grew up thinking, well, that's what they're supposed to find sexy.
Mm.
I don't know if some men actually genuinely find something sexy that they're just conditioned to believe is sexy. And then they sort of force themselves into finding things alluring that aren't necessarily alluring. It's a bit like us with the bad boy. With, you know, we're trained to like the guy in the leather jacket and the bike who can't get his life together, but we're going to be the girl that's going to make him turn his shit around. You know, and I've had so many female friends when I've kind of tried to set them up with a good-looking, nice, wonderful, smart, funny friend of mine. They're like, oh, he's just a bit nice.
He's just a little too nice.
You're so destroyed by Hollywood. You want the difficult, like, bad boy who treats you like shit. What is that conditioning that comes from our, like, media?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, stay away from the bad boy. He's going to give you HPV.
That should be put on a t-shirt. Stay away from the bad boys. They're going to give you HPV.
Yeah.
I love it. You have an Instagram that is dedicated to celebrating women's bodies, right?
No.
I have an
Instagram that is dedicated to celebrating women's lives.
Lives, okay.
In spite of their bodies.
Yes, okay. So I knew that bodies were in there somewhere.
They were totally in there. I can't sit here as like a size US 6 and be like, love over, like, I'm not going to tell you how to feel about your body or your face or anything. I hope that you find a way to love yourself as I have had to at the various different sizes I've been. I've both been very, very small and I've been very, very large, and I've learned how to love myself and accept myself at every different size and every incarnation and with every type of acne or no acne that I've ever had. I can't tell you how to feel about the way that you look, but what I can tell you is that the way that you look should never dictate the way you feel about yourself as a whole. It's 1/10 at best of what should be important to you. And the media and society, the media that's bled into the society and into our culture, or the culture that's then bled into our society, tells you that it's the most important thing about you. Men are brought up to, they are raised to believe that they should aspire towards success and strength and one day be able to marry the Victoria's Secret model. We are taught that we should just be the Victoria's Secret model. It's devastating and so demeaning and so pathetic. And so I think that it's nice to appreciate the way you look and enjoy fashion and wear a bit of makeup and be proud of your body and have feelings about that. But that should never be more than one component of what makes you up as a human being, because it isn't. When you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about how flat your stomach was. You're going to be thinking about what you did, like what you saw, how you made people feel, how they made you feel. There are women who survive cancer, they cure cancer, they lead countries, they raise people. They feed people. We are incredible, multifaceted, interesting, intelligent creatures. And we are reduced to something so menial and depressing. And so what I weigh is it's at I_way is just I want women to weigh themselves in their accomplishments and in the things that they have overcome in their lives and their story. I want to know women's story. I'm tired of just seeing women's fucking asses. I don't care about your ass. I don't want to see your asshole. I don't care how bleached it is. It's
but
great.
But what if I spend a lot of money and it's real white?
I know. And like at a UV party, I'm sure it looks amazing and it lights up. But I want to know about the woman inside that asshole. What is she thinking? What's she feeling? What is she going through? Who is this woman behind this asshole? I'll see your asshole. I'll like it. I'll double click. But after I've seen your asshole, I would also like to know some more about your life. Show me your family. Show me who you are. What do you care about? What do you feel like you're being an activist about? I don't just want to see a million face-tuned pictures of you. And that's what we're being reduced to.
I like that.
And men don't know how interesting we are because we don't show men a lot of the time how interesting we are. It is so depressing and strange to me when I see women, even women that I love, who are so funny, so dirty, so interesting and coarse and savage in their intelligence, water it down as soon as a man is in the room, even a man that they're not attracted to. They completely change. They become coy.
A very interesting thing that women do.
And they start stroking inanimate objects.
Yes. I have one friend who I think is one of the funniest people, fearless on stage. But the minute a man gets in the room, she'll sit in their lap. She'll stroke them. And I always want to shake her and say, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be liked by every man who's in a room.
They start leaning on stuff a lot. It's like they suddenly can't hold up their own weight.
And then their hair is messed up and they have to just keep fixing it and and smiling and blinking. And it's like, do you need Visine? What is happening? You are a completely different person.
And we're not judging you. We're just urging you to know that you don't need to do that, because who you are in a room where you would feel natural is the person that you are supposed to be in every room.
My God, this is like going to church. I am feeling so good.
Are we falling in love?
I think we are.
Well, am I sexually harassing you? I'm sorry. I'll stay here on my side.
No, this is perfect. I love it so much. So do you mind talking about growing up in England? I've never been to England. I don't know what it's like. Were you born and raised in England?
I was born and raised mostly in London. I moved wherever the pound was the strongest because I was poor. So we would move to Spain, and my grandmother had a house there, and we'd go live with her sometimes. And Spain was so cheap to live, and you could live a really lovely lifestyle with the same money that you would live in abject poverty in England at the time. And then take that up an extra gear in Pakistan, where we then would go to whenever we would really need money. But generally, I lived in London. I'm London born and raised, and I love London, but I do think that I was ready to live somewhere else by the time I hit 30.
Can I ask, growing up, were you in a lot of relationships, or are you a single person, a serial monogamist, or did you stay single?
Nobody wanted to have sex with me until I was 22. That's the first time someone actually wanted to have sex with me. I had my first kiss, I think, at 21. I was just too tall. I was 5'10 by the time I was 12.
Okay.
And all the boys were really short and they didn't fancy bigger girls. I was also, I was just bigger than the other girls, you know. I was extremely curvaceous, and in a time in the 90s where heroin chic was the style, and so everyone kind of was emulating Kate Moss, and jutting hip bones were a kind of badge of honor for girls. And so I was just made to feel as though I was fat, and I was made to feel as though I was too tall, and I had bad skin because I was hormonal, and also unhappy and eating the wrong food, and I was reacting all over my face, and I had glasses and braces, and I also just didn't, I was a tomboy, whatever the hell that means. You know, my dad definitely raised me to be more of a boy than a girl, which I'm glad for now, because actually I think there's a lot of toxicity sometimes in growing up in a girly way, because what even is girly, inverted commas?
Growing up in a girly way is a game you play is play house, mm-hmm. where you have like a little house and a vacuum cleaner yeah. and like a frying pan. It's yeah. like, so playing to me is cooking and cleaning.
Yeah. So I was much more active and playing like, you know, war games, which isn't great either.
No, but
the point is that I grew up, you know, I wasn't girly. I wasn't sensual. I just didn't know. I didn't know how to be this thing that I was seeing in the movies and in the magazines. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know how to be flirty. I just knew how to kind of be funny or be honest and sincere and play. You know, mm-hmm. I was a very innocent. I was a young 12-year-old. I think a proper 12-year-old. You know, I wasn't yeah. hypersexualized. I was still listening to the Beatles at that age. I wasn't listening to the young pop starlets who were, you know, or Madonna or people who were singing mm-hmm. about sex all the time. I just was maybe behind my times. And so I was an awkward kid who only became more socially anxious and more awkward as I got older. And then I didn't drink. And I never drank, and I've still not ever drunk. And I think
really?
That means that I had extra social anxiety. Mm-hmm. I was hugely unpopular at school. No one spoke to me. Honestly, I had like one friend who only wanted to be my friend on the weekend.
And oh, no.
She was not very nice to me on the weekend even. And then at school would completely blank
oh, no.
me because I had like social leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that happens, the worse you become socially. And so mm-hmm. just the more anxious you become around girls and women, and they pick up on that because women are hypersensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then just people just don't want to be near you. Like I would literally sit and eat lunch on my own every single day, and girls would walk up to me at school and look at me and just go, ugh.
Really?
For no reason. And then just walk off in a group. Or there was one time I was sitting at my house. Not this is like a sob story, but it'll explain why I'm such a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting at my house alone on a Saturday night watching like the Eurovision Song Contest with my mother. And 12 girls from school turned up at my house and rang on my doorbell. And I was thinking, oh my God, are they going to invite me out?
Mm-hmm.
And they turned up just to ask me what I was doing. And I was like, I'm just watching uh-huh. Eurovision Song Contest with my mum. But I'm free. And they were like, oh, we were just wondering, we're going out somewhere really fun. Bye. And then
oh,
just like walked off.
God.
So they came all the way to my house and found out my address just to humiliate me and show me that I'm in watching TV with my mother and they are like all out having fun together in a big group. Never got invited to birthday parties.
That is so mean.
Yeah, man. Girls are tough. They were tough. And it was also a very racist time in England.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the only Pakistani girls like in the whole school. So it was mm-hmm. just like, I had a brutal, brutal teenage years. And I think Ugh. It just all messed up my confidence. And then I just didn't fit to any mold that any boy mm-hmm. seemed to want. And then I met, and then my best friend basically fell in love with me when I was like 20, 21. And mm-hmm. he was my first kiss. And it took him 9 months to get the courage up to kiss me because I was giving him zero signals. I still give men no signals. You have to be deep inside me before uh-huh. I even realize that you like me.
Before it registers, you're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh,
you
okay.
like me.
There you go. He likes me a lot.
I have no, I'm very bad at signals. I'm bad at giving them. I'm bad at receiving them.
Mm-hmm.
I think my confidence has been so battered as a child that I don't believe that anyone would find me attractive because I don't find myself attractive.
Oh.
And so that's something that I continue to work on because that's just me bullying myself now.
Yeah. And it's very interesting what you see in the mirror versus what the world sees.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of women struggle with that. I struggle with that. But like it took me a while, but I've grown to very much love the body that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I love the face that I have. When I grew up, I was also like one of, I don't know, 5 black kids in my whole town.
Yeah.
And it was
so
me,
fun.
My sister. Yeah, it was very weird. Mm-hmm. But we were lucky. We weren't like made fun of or anything. And no one was overtly mean to us because rap was popular. And like Eminem, people loved Eminem. People loved to like, you know, explain hip hop to me. And I'd be like, sure, okay. If that's sure, that's what you think. Whatever, okay. So it was
Apu
like
Apu is still the coolest thing that Indian people have ever done in mainstream culture. Who's played by a white man, by
yeah.
the way. Okay, so go on.
Uh-huh, which Carry is on. Insane.
Yeah.
And I do think, oh, whatever, we don't even have to get
no,
into
no.
that, but I do think they should, whatever. So like, it was more people were curious about me and my sister and the rest of the black kids in town.
Yeah.
And they like wanted to be cool and like having a black person around kind of co-signed things. But that also fucks you up because mm-hmm. then you're like, well, you like me on a surface level, but like, I had never been like hit on by a boy. I don't think my first kiss was until, no, I had my first kiss, I think, in seventh grade, but then like nothing for a very, like there was like in, like a thing that happened and then nothing else until like I was 21, 22-ish. And I was like, but why? And then growing up, I was like, oh, it's because it's like my mother used to say, these white boys aren't going to bring you home to their mom. What would their mother say? Their mother probably wouldn't be happy about it. And hearing that from my mom, I was like, oh, you're just like kind of hating on me. Like you're just like being really mean. But then you grow up and some of the people I went to high school with are fervent Trump supporters. And you like you hear what they really think. And you're like, oh, yeah, had they brought me home, their mother wouldn't be happy about it. They probably would have had something to say. So I think that explains a little bit of how like why I didn't date growing up. But also I was very pimply. Very oily. And oh, I thought I dressed real cute, but looking back, it wasn't good.
Oh my God, snakeskin leather flares. And I used to wear flares and then wear a skirt on top of my flares.
What a dream!
This is until I was 22. I would also wear like gloves that went all the way up to my elbow, like inside a club. And I would wear a scarf inside a club because I was just trying to cover it. I look like Kenny from South Park. Like that was my style.
Just cover up as much as possible.
Extra large men's tracksuits, you know. And so it was, yeah, it's just, it's amazing looking back. I'm sure one day I'll probably look back at the stuff that I've worn in my 20s and 30s
yes,
and be like,
yes, and then like, I looked
Jesus
insane.
Christ.
Why on earth would I do that? We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. Okay, Jamila, I would like you to look at my Tinder profile.
Okay.
Because you're not on any apps.
No.
Have you ever been on an app?
Yes, for 2 weeks.
Really? Which one?
Tinder.
And how was it?
I was afraid of murder, okay, Nicole? And so I met every single day at 11 a.m. each day, different dates.
Dates at 11 a.m.?
Near a police station. It wasn't conducive to a sexy vibe.
That's really funny.
Think it was very funny.
So funny. If someone set up a date with me at 11 a.m. next to a police station, I would think they were the funniest person I'd ever met.
But that's just it. Like the things that women find funny or sexy or cool, men do not find funny and sexy or cool.
What was one of the worst dates you went on from Tinder?
One of the worst dates I went on from Tinder. They were actually all fine. They were all fine. But it just felt like a meeting because it was 11 a.m. outside a police station.
And the day has just started. They're still on their best behavior.
So I had one bad date that I, around the same time, with a man who I'd gone on a couple of dates with. This is a disaster, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst date anyone's ever been on. Okay, so are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So I went on a date with this man, and he was lovely to me. And so we went on a second date, and he was lovely to me. On the third date, like, he brought me to kind of meet some of his friends. And I was like, wow, this is going so well. He's so charming and funny and nice and handsome. And he's introducing me to people, which means he's not ashamed of my personality, which is rare. And so then he comes over to my house at like 10 p.m. So I was like, Now, I've kissed 7 people ever. One of them is Manny, who's on the show, and that's a contractually obliged kiss
that's
on camera.
Adorable.
So, no, it's not. But it is and it isn't. Like, it's not.
No, that's, I think,
it's
adorable.
Sad. It's sad and it makes me sad.
Out of your 7, one is work.
Yeah. And I still count it, which is pathetic.
No, that's the best.
So I was like, I'm about to have my first booty call. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited because I'd heard about them for years and I've been watching Sex and the City, you know, and I really felt like I was ready for my first booty call. He turns up at my house, walks in. I've never told this story publicly. Walks in, takes 3 steps in, kisses me on the cheek, and then collapses face forward and has a seizure, like a violent seizure. He breaks all of his teeth.
What?
When he falls, and like, so the teeth and blood just explode all over my house. Bear in mind, I'd been in America. I'd moved to America 10 days prior to this.
Oh my God.
So I don't know anyone here apart from other men from Tinder, but I can't really call them in this situation.
Although that'd be very funny if you
so
did.
Amazing.
It's like, this woman I met at 11 a.m. across from the police station just called me to say that her friend had a seizure.
And so so this man is now like bleeding and seizing all over my floor. There's teeth everywhere. I have to call 911 like in the movies, you know, which I'd never done in my life. I'd never had to call an emergency services before, and they send an ambulance and a fire truck for some reason. Mm-hmm. We don't do this in England. It's very overdramatic, America.
Yes.
And you need to know yourself and chill out. Just chill the fuck out. So 20 men pour into the house, like all in uniform, to save this guy's life, and they're trying to resuscitate him. They manage to finally bring him back round, and they're like, you know, have you taken any drugs? And he was like, well, I had a bit of cocaine earlier, but I've been taking that for like 20 years and I've normally been fine. I was like, oh, flag. That's a red flag. 20 years of cocaine.
20
yeah.
years?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I was like, dad of three. single dad of three. They're like, have you taken anything else? And he was like, no, I definitely haven't taken anything else. So they're like, okay, cool. So they put the blanket over him and they start to like pull the blanket over his body, and after they go past his cock, he gets a raging erection. At which point it becomes quite clear
that somebody
gets impotent from their cocaine use, and they take Viagra, both of which have a very different effect on the heart. And so clearly the cocktail just
messed him up,
and he collapsed. He had temporary heart failure. And so now it's very embarrassing because he's got a boner. He's had to admit that he's had Viagra. And look me in the eye as he says it. He's got no teeth. There's blood everywhere. And we have to carry him out of my house at 11 p.m. at night in the middle of like West Hollywood with no teeth, covered in blood, and a big boner.
Honestly,
that's the worst date I've ever been on.
The best story I've ever heard. He's got no teeth. He's high on coke and he's got a boner and he's like, can we still fuck?
Yeah, he's just being carried out of my house on a stretcher.
Have you ever had a booty call since?
No!
Oh my God. That's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
Oh,
it pleases me to no end. I'm sorry that happened.
Sent a sign from the universe that I'm destined to never be allowed to have casual sex as long as I live. So I've only ever slept with people that I've been in long relationships with.
There are worse things that could happen,
I guess.
But that's wild. Did he clean? Did he like give you money to clean?
He did actually. He actually took me shopping to Target 2 days later to like replace all my furniture that was covered in his blood.
That's gentlemanly. So funny. Did he call you to set that up or did he text you? I want to take you to Target.
He texted me.
My blood is all over your furniture. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You know, I still have his blood stain on the back of my couch.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Gross.
It's gross, but also what an icebreaker.
Anyway, enough about me. Show me your Tinder profile.
Okay, yep, that's my Tinder. So if you would like to look along, you can go to facebook.com, Nicole Byer Comedy, and I posted the pictures there.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Tell them what you see.
Okay, so there is a picture of you next to Kim Kardashian. You are mimicking exactly her pose. She's topless, she's wearing she's eating noodles, and she's got pink hair. You are doing exactly that. You look really hot in this picture.
Thank you.
You've really committed, which I really admire.
Yes, it's my favorite picture. There I is think another, it's really funny.
There's another stunning photograph of you. We're holding a pineapple on top of your head and pretending it's coming out of your head, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You look fucking insane in the photograph, but you look beautiful. You look mad
Thank
and beautiful.
You.
And fun. There's a photograph of you next with a child's toy car and you are posing like you are on the cover of a hip-hop album. Or like a Slav. You know, have you seen Slav squatting on Instagram?
Yes.
Yes, that's
Wait,
lovely.
What is Slav?
Slum and Slavic. So it can be like someone from that kind of part of the world, like Russian
yes.
or,
okay.
or from Poland. Or and then there's another picture of you looking hot as all fuck in a wonderfully ridiculous t-shirt holding, is that a giant dildo?
Mm-hmm.
It's a giant blue dildo.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get that inside you?
I've never tried.
Christ.
I found it. There's this show. It's a stand-up
what
show
is that?
In a
two
sex
feet?
Shop. I think it's like 2 feet. It was huge. So I was walking around the sex shop and I was like, oh, that's a huge dildo. I have to take a picture with it. So that's,
agreed.
That's why I have it. Because
oh
it was so big and silly.
God, there's no part of that that would get in me.
No.
That is really scary. Then there's you in a onesie climbing an empty bookcase. And I don't understand the point of this photograph other than to show that you have a wonderful ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
show
then there's a picture of you with a dog.
Get.
There's a picture of you in glasses looking, you know, smart, inverted commas,
mm-hmm.
and beautiful. These are all wonderful photographs. And I feel like they really reflect you. They show that you are a very silly woman and you are a very beautiful woman and you have a wonderful bottom and you seem really fun. So how's it going? Why are you still single?
I don't know.
So how is the what's the traffic like from your Tinder? I'm sorry, I just threw your phone at you like Naomi Campbell.
It's fine. It landed. It didn't break. The traffic on my Tinder right now has slowed. So before, my first picture was the dildo picture. So I would get a lot of gentlemen asking about it, and rightfully so. And that would be kind of like the icebreaker. But then I was like, maybe I don't want that to be the icebreaker. So then I just put the Kim picture there, and that has gotten me no hits. I'm on Bumble. Do you know what Bumble is?
Yes. That's where the woman approaches the man.
Yes. So I started saying silly things to men in hopes that they would be silly back. Like I started one conversation with this man and I said, what would you do if a penguin walked into your room right now? And then he had a very logical answer. And I was like, I don't want logic.
Oh my God, what a boring
twat. A fun,
twat.
Whimsical answer.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, he was like, what would you do? I was like, keep it. Raise it. Raise it with my dog. Make it a good boy penguin. And then I asked this guy, Gary, I said, would you rather turn into a hot dog every night or turn into a hot air balloon every day for 15 minutes at 11:45? And then he just said balloon. And I know that's an answer, but I asked a very silly, specific question.
Right.
So I was like, why wouldn't you answer it, but then like ask me why mm-hmm. I thought of it or like think of the logistics of it? I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are boring.
I think a lot of people are boring, but I also think the one-dimensional way in which women have been portrayed in mainstream media and in porn is even more boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the problem that you're facing here is that women find funny men attractive. Men are far less inclined to find a funny woman attractive. It is
yeah.
just because that has not been something that has been in their filter. You know, it's almost like if there's an algorithm that has been taken out of the algorithm that men
mm-hmm.
see in their full periphery around women, you know, and this is such a deeply rooted and deeply upsetting issue, and is a massive part of why no one often wants to have sex with me. I've referred to myself as a serial erection killer because of my ability to turn people off with my personality, and however I might look, because I've got breasts and I've got mm-hmm. long legs and I dress somewhat provocatively sometimes. I am today. It's very hot mm-hmm. outside. So I think
I don't think
some
that's
men,
provocative.
Well, whatever. Like, I'm just saying, I don't know what provocative even means, but I've got the girls are out.
Okay.
They're staring at you. The point is
mm-hmm.
that I dress like in a way that that looks like I've made an effort. I've bathed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will be approached by men, but within seconds and sometimes minutes of meeting me, people are not interested anymore. Because I don't give off a vibe. I give off a vibe that they associate with a mum or a friend because I'm being like funny and friendly and open and I'm not being guarded about myself and I'm not being mysterious. And I don't know what the fuck the big deal about mystery is. I don't fucking have any.
I'm never going to
have any fucking mystery. I am what I am. Surely my being okay with what I am should be a good thing. I don't want you to think I'm a murderer. I'm not French and I don't have a cigarette. And you do know what I'm thinking because I'm going to fucking tell you all the time. And hopefully you like my thoughts. I'm finally in a relationship where I'm with someone who definitely... In fact, I've always dated nice men who've accepted my personality, but I'm in a relationship with someone currently who really does just accept all of my weirdness, and I fully let my freak flag fly with this person, and he accepts all of my like Indian characters that I am in the house and all these different things. But this has been so hard to find someone who accepts me for not being like some sort of ingenue in a movie, because this is what men are seeing. This is what they're seeing in pornography. That's what they're seeing in the movie. And the lead character of the movie is never funny. And if she is funny, it's because her life is in a mess and she's got a drinking problem and she's a, you know, whatever. She's sleeping around too much. Those are the only women allowed to be funny. And they're not often allowed to be attractive at the same time. All of our kind of funny or our color or our personality has to be kind of like filtered through into something that is digestible and palatable to the patriarchy. It's ridiculous. And so I think what you might be struggling with is the fact that men are a little bit like surprised by the fact that you're going out there trying to be funny rather than conforming to patriarchal expectation just by like pushing your tits out there and looking like, have you seen this new, what the fuck is going on Instagram where everyone has started to look like grown women are doing the face of like, I'm just a little lush girl. And they're they're pouting their lips and they're opening their eyes, making them look very doe eyes.
And looking very
And they look
confused.
Very lost and confused. And these are like some of them, I know some of these women and they're smart women and they're talented women. They're earning loads of money. They're successful. They're driven. But what you see of them on Instagram is just hundreds of photographs of them looking like they don't really know what's going on. Like they're perplexed and lost and scared and vulnerable. And it's like this Lolita thing. Now, Lolita is creepy as fuck.
Lolita is creepy as fuck.
Creepy as all fuck. And Lolita is still in style. And Jane Birkin, I don't know, I'm not going to throw it at Jane Birkin. She's a gorgeous woman, but that kind of style of like, I'm just like, I just need a big man to come and rescue me. I get it. But if we keep perpetuating that narrative around women, then men are going to be terrified when they come across smart women who do know where they are. They're fully aware of their location. They don't feel afraid. And they've got some opinions and they've got some jokes to tell you and they want to be real and natural around you. Men are just not accustomed to us being ourselves. They have no idea. A lot of them have no idea who we are. My boyfriend, I will stop talking in a second. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
My boyfriend... hasn't had loads of female friends in his life until now because women have been so weird around him. And he's also a singer who people like is known to some people. And so women are even weirder around him. And they, it's almost like they just switch into a different character when they're around him.
It makes sense.
They just sort of, they become quite mysterious. And I think he used to find that a little bit disconcerting and would never really get to know people. And now that he's going out with me and I've got lots of female friends who, because he's my boyfriend, they are not trying to shag him, thankfully. and so therefore are completely being themselves. And I've got very funny, very raw, very intelligent, very strong women around me in my life. And he's met them and it's been such an eye-opener to him to see what women are really like. He really didn't know. And now he's got loads of female friends and he adores the female company. He just didn't know he would because he hadn't met real women until now because women couldn't stop being weird around him. I'm sure all those women he met were probably really interesting and had loads of humanity, but they hid it from him because they were trying to conform to the narrative that they thought he would want because he might watch porn or watch movies.
That's so interesting. As to why maybe a lot of men don't have female friends because women do act a certain kind of way around men. How long have you guys been together?
3.5 years.
Okay. So that's a good chunk of time. When did you ever feel like you couldn't be yourself around him? Or was there like a certain day where you were like, I'm just going to do this like little weird thing and see what happens?
No, I've always been straight out the gate with guys. I just can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. I got rejected so much in my teens. And I used to be the girl that used to write messages for the pretty girls to the boys. They used to get me to write funny stuff or like stuff that boys would be interested about on instant messenger. Do you remember IM?
Oh, yes.
And then the boy would walk straight past me at the party and I'm the girl that he's really been talking to online for ages and like we've been connecting.
Oh, my God.
He would never look twice at me. And he looks through like through me and almost is like rude to me as he's walking past.
You're like a 90s rom-com.
I am a 90s rom-com, except like no one ever kissed me. I never, like, I took the glasses off and I took off the ponytail and I was still
and
a fucking
still
virgin.
Like, we don't want it. And you're like, but I did everything I was supposed
to. They're like, you have a really like unsexy personality. And so what was the question? I've totally lost.
No, you answered it. Where did you guys meet?
I met my boyfriend at work, but no, so because I got so rejected as a teenager, basically, I just decided that, you know what, I'm going to have to be okay with me. Otherwise, I'm just going to end up being rejected later. You know, if I pretend to be someone else, I can't be bothered to keep up the game. I can't. It's why I don't wear Spanx. It's why I don't wear Wonder Bras. I am just like, I am. It's on dates and stuff like that because I'm just like, what you see is what you get. I don't wear a lot of makeup when I'm going out with boys. I'm just trying to make sure that they know who I am, so I'm not gonna have to keep up something. I'm messy from the start.
That's smart. I
bring all my flaws out straight away so that you get to decide, because otherwise we are a bit like used car salesmen in relationships, all human beings, where we show the best version of ourselves for a year and then we can't keep that up. It's
you're
just better
very right.
to be yourself. Be the best version of yourself that you intend to be in a realistic way, but be yourself. So
I also don't wear Spanx. I don't understand them. They don't make you any smaller. They just make you smooth.
Yeah, and that's on TV. That could be nice because you're moving around in some weird positions. It could be smooth.
Sure.
And it does feel like you're being cuddled, but generally I don't wear Spanx. I don't like the feeling. I can't breathe.
I don't like them either.
No.
They're too tight for nothing.
Yeah, my vagina feels sad.
It does.
It feels sad.
And then the ones with the hole for your vagina, you're like, all right. So it's like airing out a little. This is.
But that's just to pee, which I think is super gross.
Much. Yes.
And precarious.
You just open it up and pee. Yeah.
You're giving birth to your own piss. It's really bizarre. But the fact that I've never altered my personality for men when I meet them is also why I've been tremendously unsuccessful in dating. You know, and there was a patch between 24 and 27 where I didn't even kiss anyone.
Really?
Yeah. No one like didn't hold hands with a person.
You're giving me hope because I'm currently in a dry spell. I don't think I've kissed anyone since last October, maybe November-y. I've been like busy. One, two, it feels like so much work to get to know someone like on an app and then meet them. And then be like, this doesn't work. I guess I'll sleep with you anyway. And then be like, this wasn't good. This didn't fulfill anything.
But online dating is just, it is the worst. It is the worst. I understand it, especially for busy people. And it is kind of cool that you get to meet people you wouldn't otherwise meet. And in Los Angeles, you're not walking around the streets. You know, you're not bumping into people. You're not going to local coffee shops very often. No. So in particular, I do understand that. But it is just this menu of genitals. And people are lazy because they have this sense of too much choice. It's why we stopped watching TV, is because we had too many channels. And, you know, we just stopped committing to things. We stopped sitting down and we stopped having a sense of ceremony. You know, there's just, we are not good with too much choice, and there's too much choice, and you just swipe and it's so depersonalized and it's based on your, like, you often don't even look through the second or third or fourth picture. You just see the first picture and you make an instant like snap decision that has no sense of context or anything to do with that person. And there's no, you can't get a pheromonal vibe from someone, which you get from just meeting someone and walking past them or having a small interaction at a traffic light, you know. And so I think that online dating anyway is the worst and a really hard way to gauge and read people. I spoke to an Uber driver about this 3 years ago, and she just said, she was telling me she'd been married for a really long time, and I said, what do you think is the secret to me? I was single at the time, and I said, what do you think is the secret to finding love? Because I find Uber drivers can be quite wise, because they spend a lot of time therapizing people in the back of their car.
Yeah, they talk to a lot of people.
And she just said, go and do what you love and you'll find the man who is right for you when you are doing something that you love. And that made a lot of sense to me of like, find your people. She's like, don't mess around with all of this online shit. It's got nothing to do. You haven't really like got any sense of an algorithm as to like who you are. That there's nothing that you have in common other than like, oh, I like that picture of yours. You like this picture of mine. It's nothing. This is so surface level and
shallow.
And kind of shallow and gross and depersonalized. Go and do hobbies. Like, get out of the house. Go and do things. Pursue things that make you happy, things that you love. And then you are obviously so much more likely to gravitate towards someone who's got at least, at the very least, similar interests. And then they have a chance to get to know you, to hear your voice, to pick up on your pheromones. Like, that is how you're going to. And I did. I met someone in my job where I was there doing something that I loved. And that was where I met someone like-minded and we fell in love and we are together. It's the best and healthiest relationship I've ever been in. And we have so much in common and we are such similar beasts. And I think that that is the way forward. I do wonder if perhaps online dating is perhaps not doing you any favors. Especially maybe because of the prejudice that exists around women having a fucking personality.
Maybe, but then I don't know where I'd find somebody.
Well, what are your hobbies?
Have any hobbies.
Well, get some fucking hobbies.
I don't have time for hobbies.
Well, make some time for some hobbies. You've only got one life.
I know. But like, I do comedy and I act and I tour. And like, my job kind of is what some would say is a hobby. Like someone who takes like a stand-up class because they're like, I don't know, I'm the funniest person at my job. So
I do understand that. To be fair, I forgot that you are a stand-up comedian. I do not know any stand-up comedian who finds it very easy to find love because of the like instability of your lifestyle.
It's a crazy lifestyle. I'm out of town mostly like every weekend.
Right.
If I get a job, then I'm gone for like 12 hours out of the day, you know, during the week. Sometimes I'll book something that immediately takes me out of town and I'm gone for a while. And then I do spend a lot of time in New York. So it's like my schedule is so unpredictable that even if I got a hobby, I don't know how often I'd get to my hobby. I guess I could like, maybe I like pottery. Maybe I'll start pottering.
Potter. Do some potting. But also, what about friends? Are friends not like bringing, like setting you up with people? Are you socializing at all?
I'm friends with a lot of comedy people,
right,
who are friends with a lot of other broken comedy people. So I feel like all of the people in comedy that are available to date are not available. Like the ones that I would are already snatched up. Camera operators on sets are usually married. Like all crew members are married. And then you have PAs who are young. And they're still trying to figure out what they want to do because I don't think anyone's a career PA. Maybe they are. I don't know. And then actors, non-comedic actors, I think are hard to talk to because I think to be an actor, you have to be like a little vacant, but then also incredibly self-absorbed.
What else would draw you into a career where you spend all of your life pretending to be someone else?
Yes.
That's damage.
Yeah, and then you're also not even adding your own thing, really. Like, you're not adding jokes to it. Like, in a comedy, you're like, what if it's... Don't you think it's funnier if I say it this way? Like, you're constantly thinking and adding to your character.
I understand.
I don't know.
It is... No, I mean, this is an industry that is, like, full of, like, damaged narcissists. Which you and I probably are as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, we are just sitting here in a room talking about ourselves. What does that say?
It's the definition of damaged narcissism.
Yeah, we're both damaged narcissists. And so this is a polluted pool to find love in. I do wonder that when you do meet people, how much are you yourself?
I am myself. I would say...
Like yourself.
I would say I'm like 75% on, like, just like, you know, getting zingers in and being fun and funny. And then like 25% like, here's an actual fact about me. I do put up some walls, I know. Both my parents are dead, and it's something I work in therapy about putting up walls about people leaving my life, and that's the way life goes.
So if you never really give yourself out, then no one can really leave the real you.
And I just started, I would say within like the last year and a half, trying to be vulnerable. And vulnerability is a very hard thing for me.
Okay, can I have an almost, like a, I have a deathly lack of filter. Can I say something really honest to you? Okay, so the first time I met you, I did not get a gauge of who you were at all. Not one bit. And fair enough, we were in a situation that probably isn't conducive to us being our most relaxed and our most ourselves. But I had no idea who you were. It was night and day compared to the woman that I'm now in a room with. Oh. And I love this woman very much. And I didn't dislike that woman, but I felt zero connection with that woman because I felt like you were being a character. Like almost like it's almost like, and it's funny and entertaining, but it is almost like there's a kind of cartoony thing that I am definitely someone who does, and I've been called out on this many times, which is how I can even recognize it in other people. And it's a defense mechanism because I was so rejected my whole life, and so therefore I'm just kind of like, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting my character.
Yes.
And I used to be much more manic, and I used to be very animated, always telling stories, always performing. And this someone who's now my best friend, but at the time I was kind of trying to hook up with, and that didn't go anywhere. And he turned out to be hella gay. But he just said to me one day, kind of on a date, and he was like, aren't you tired? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, of this like thing you're doing, this performance you're putting on, aren't you tired? He's like, because it's fucking exhausting to watch. And I had to like crawl under the table that we were sitting at and just hide from him because I felt so deathly exposed. And I sensed a little bit of that in you, that performative thing. And that is something that perhaps then gives off the signal that you are not interested in connecting with someone. So therefore then they pick up a signal, even subliminally, that you do not want them to connect with you. So therefore they shouldn't try to connect with you. And that is, and I don't mean that in an attacking way.
It's not attacking.
But it's been really interesting to see you today because I adore the woman that I'm sitting opposite. You are real. You're intelligent. You speak in a different voice even than I first met you with. And
when we first met, it was like walking into a situation where I was incredibly nervous.
Oh, well, you did. Very, you were brilliant on the day.
Very nervous. Yeah. I had an audition for the part. So coming in, I was like, well, here's what I want to do. Yeah. Okay, well, here's what we're trying to do. Okay, that's not quite what we're not seeing. It was like a
little
bit.
You were also fucking exceptional for whatever it's worth.
But I will say that I maybe had a wall up because I was like, I want to be liked. I have to come back for 3 days. So don't be too aggressively loud. Try to be funny when appropriate.
Oh, no, you were brilliant in that situation. I didn't find you in anything other than a complete joy and perfect to work with in that situation. All I was wondering is that, is there any part of that version of you that comes out when you were in a romantic or social environment?
Yes, it used to.
That's
very,
all I'm trying to
much.
Say is that because my mania used to come out anytime I was nervous. So it wasn't work nerves, it wasn't love nerves, it wasn't sex nerves, it was all nerves. So I was just wondering if that's something similar.
I would say like a year and a half ago, that would be my go-to, the way I would be on a date. Now I try to like, before I go on a date, it's been a while since I've been on one, but I try to like ground myself, center myself and be like, okay, let's be, how does Nicole feel today? If I don't feel like being performative, then we'll just talk.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I do feel like being on and I do feel like being very silly. And then sometimes I don't take my ADD medication and I'm out of my mind. So yeah. And that's also another thing when I work, sometimes I don't take my ADHD medication. So I'm in my brain going, don't be annoying.
Please don't take that as a criticism of how you were. I was just trying to say that on a social level, to work with, you were a dream. I was just wondering on a social level if that's also the way you'll come across. Because then in that case, then that doesn't quite work as well because that's not good for human connection.
Yes.
It was perfect for the environment in which we met. And I left with no judgment of you.
Okay.
It was only seeing you today and seeing you be very different that I was like, oh, I wonder if you're like this version of you when you're socializing.
I would say it's a mixture.
Yeah. So do you get that I'm not criticizing the way that you were that time?
Okay, I do. But I just... That first day, I lost my mind.
Okay, but you didn't seem like that. You just didn't seem, almost didn't seem real. Like we were just sort of not being able to communicate in a human way, which almost 1,000,000,000% you would have felt about me 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I've had therapy. I did something called EMDR therapy, which is a type of like trauma therapy that helps break patterns and breaks defense mechanisms and stuff. It's unbelievable. And I highly recommend it basically to anyone who's got a bad habit or bad patterns or bad trauma that they can't seem to overcome. Or if you keep being drawn back to the same negative situation, because that is something that reflected something that happened to you in your youth and you just keep going at it like a fucking moth to a flame. So it was just something that I picked up on because it's something that I used to do. And people respond so weirdly to the version of ourselves that we create because we aren't okay with who we are and because we are afraid. And that fear comes out in a way that is hard to relate to. And so I think for whatever it's worth, and I'm sure you have so much confidence in certain areas of your life, but there's certainly a part of you that that clearly you are not fully okay with. Otherwise, you would allow that woman in the same way that you would a friend. If your friend wasn't feeling on, you would say to your friend, like, hey, just relax, just be yourself. But you're not allowing yourself that same luxury. And I think that that's something to really look at, is that be your best friend. Treat yourself as you would your best friend. Allow yourself the same things you would allow a best friend. Don't pressure yourself the way that you would not pressure a best friend. I don't mean to lecture you.
No, but that's also good. I think my mom used to say you have to be nice to yourself. And I never understood that until in therapy. My therapist would say you have to be nice to yourself.
Yeah, talk to the stand up for yourself.
Be mean to yourself because you are yourself.
Yeah. Also, we're never going to get rid of the mean voice in our head because we're women and that mean voice has come from every single, like via osmosis, we've adopted that mean voice. It's almost now like in our fucking DNA. So all you can do is have the mean voice and then have the voice of the best friend in your head that's going to stand up to that mean voice. I have that mean voice and then I also have another voice that tells that voice to shut the fuck up. And that's a voice that maybe you need to activate in a stronger way.
That's the voice that needs to be a little louder.
Yeah.
We do have to wrap up.
Oh, no.
Is there anything that you would like to promote?
I'm on a show called The Good Place, and we're about to have season 3 release in about 3 weeks from when this airs. So September 27th on NBC. It's going to be on Netflix and on NBC, and it's very good and it's very funny. I've also made a documentary for the BBC about consent within sex and trying to educate people about it rather than shout at them.
I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. But also before I go, I just want you to say, I love the woman that you are. You're great and you're funny and you're smart and you're beautiful.
Thank you.
And you're strong and you're talented and you're just, you have so much to be proud of and so much to enjoy about yourself. And I am glad that you are working on that and I hope that continues to grow because you're so great.
Oh, thank you. I find you fabulous and you're wonderful and you're inspiring and it's a real treat to talk to you. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can subscribe on iTunes and you can rate it 5 stars. And if you write me a nasty little review, I will read it. This is from BWCD. It says, I wish this podcast was every day or maybe twice a week. Nicole, you're so funny. I want to lick your open mouth. Thank you. Toodaloo.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Covered. Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.